Welcome back, and we'll get back to you more of your phone calls in a bit, but we have a special guest joining us right now. He's president of Americans for Limited Government. Let's welcome Rick Manning to the program. And Rick, how are you? Good morning. Welcome.
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you?
Very good. Thanks so much for being with us. Last night, Joe Biden gave a town hall meeting, and he had all kinds of things that he was talking about that didn't make sense. And one of them was he was claiming that all this excess spending that we're doing, deficit spending, growth of government, will not cause inflation. And I find that hard to believe, Rick. I wonder if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, it is a cause of inflation, and it's, you know, inflating money. It's all inflation is your money is worth less. And so that is all inflation is. Your money is worth less, hence you can't buy as much with it. And when you have an abundance of money, when there's a lot of money out there chasing the same amount of goods, you end up having that money being worth less because the price of goods go up to accommodate it. That's inflation. And so all the growth of government, all the extra spending, all of that is always inflationary. It doesn't have a choice but to be inflationary. And when you spend money on non-productive things like government, because the government doesn't produce anything, it generally just regulates and gets in the way. So when you spend on non-productive things, you're not only you're inflating your money, but you're also not producing additional goods and services that people want to buy. Hence, you are keeping the supply down while supply of goods down while the demand goes up because people have money. So it's unearned money is dumb, it's bad, and government spending a bunch of money ends up creating an inflationary cycle, which is a disaster. And anybody who lived in the 1970s, if you're a kid listening, talk to somebody in the 1970s. Okay, and they'll tell you the single thing that happened in the 1970s was the inflation was going up. Wages could not keep up. People wanted more money for the job they did because they couldn't afford to buy stuff. And so they kept on buying, and so they get a raise, but then the person who gave them a raise have to raise the cost of what they were producing. And you have this vicious cycle of costs rising and inflation rising and wages barely not even keeping up. And a saving saying came out was, the harder I work, the further behind I get. That's inflation. That's what Joe Biden has launched through his continuation of this spend-a-thon without a pandemic as a reason to do it.
You know, they had something back then that was, I remember Ronald Reagan ran on this, the misery index, where, you know, you had the unemployment rate added to the inflation rates. And then also you had the interest rates that were through the roof. I remember 21% interest rates for a while. So, I mean, it was just an impossible economic situation for people. And I'm worried about that happening again, Rick.
It is very possible. We've been extraordinarily fortunate that interest rates have stayed low. Excuse me. The reason for that is that most people don't realize, but the Federal Reserve is actually buying our debt. They buy about $80 billion worth of debt every month. And so they're basically consuming $1 trillion worth of debt a year. And as a result, the Federal Reserve is the single greatest holder of our debt, if you don't include Social Security and Medicare, where debt also gets shoved into. So that's how they're controlling the interest rates, is they're controlling the interest markets, the bond markets, by buying the debt and creating an artificial customer for the debt. So imagine your own household where you got to buy your own debt and then, you know, pay yourself some interest back at the end of the year, bound to debt. How that would work. It would work great until it didn't. Okay. These are the kind of things that work really good until they don't. And the problem with what we're going through right now is this year, we're going to put about $8 trillion worth of debt on the market, that just some new debt and a lot of debt that's just being recycled because it's refinanced. So there's a, we're having about $7 trillion of debt on the market, and there's going to be $7 trillion worth of customers for those debt, for that debt. And as a result, you're going to have a, if there or not, the price, the interest rates will go up. And the interest rates will go up because the only way you get people to be attracted to debt is if you pay them a high enough interest rate that it makes sense. If you're in a 6% inflation rate environment, if you buy your debt at 3%, when the money devalues at 6%, you lost 3% on that money. And so people who are in the banking industry and you know, do this for a living understand that their objective is to make money. And inflation has the impact of driving that debt cost up.
Yeah.
And that has a massive negative impact on our government because we have about $30 trillion of it. And you end up having to pay 5% interest on $30 trillion of debt. That's $1.5 trillion a year you're paying in debt alone. The highest amount of money we've ever brought in for revenues in this country's history is $3.5 trillion. So that just gives you a magnitude of the problem that we have if interest rates go up. Inflation drives those interest rates.
Yeah.
That's the
Rick Manning with us, President of America's for Limited Government, Jeff Cruer here at Springside on WGSO, 990 AM, WGSO.com. You can get more information at getliberty.org. Rick, you sent out a recent release the other day telling Senate Republicans that they've got to stand and fight. And you're talking about the recent bill that is an attempt by Schumer to ram through spending, a gargantuan spending bill, without providing any details of what's in the bill. How much are we talking about in this spending bill? What are the numbers here?
Well, the crazy thing about it is yesterday there was a vote on the floor for a bill that was a blank check. It literally had no words in it. And what Chuck Schumer wanted was for there to be a cloture vote, 60 votes, to allow this blank check bill to sit there. And then trust him, he'll put the words in later. So that, given the fact that Chuck Schumer has said that he wants to spend between $3 and $6 trillion additional dollars beyond the $1 trillion that the Republicans and Democrats are seemingly agreeing upon on so-called infrastructure payments. So that blank check is $4 to $6 trillion is what what you're talking about. Now, once again, Jeff, this is, spending, I'm going to tell people a single greatest truth I've learned in politics the last 5 years. I was sitting with the Trump administration and I asked this question of a very high ranking person in the Trump administration. So why aren't you fighting on debt? Why aren't you fighting against the spending
right.
nonsense that's going on? They said, because nobody out there tells us they want us to. They say, nobody's telling us that we need to stop fighting. We need to stop spending. Everybody wants us to do something with money. Nobody says stop spending money. And so if you're worried about the debt, if you're worried about the spending, if you're worried about the craziness that's going on in D.C. in terms of our fiscal policy and the inflation it's creating, you need to call your senators. You need to tell them, stop spending now. They need to hear it. They don't hear it.
And
it's important it happens.
I'd like our listeners to contact Senator Bill Cassidy and tell him to stop working with the Biden administration. I mean, he was one of the ones went out there and said, "Oh, we had a deal on an infrastructure bill," and then I think 20 minutes later, I think Biden betrayed them and said, "Oh, well, we're only going to get the infrastructure bill if we get this other bill passed." And then there's sort of been back and forth.
Well, that's exactly how they're going to get their $4.5 trillion, $5 trillion of spending. Is the Republicans are doing their deal and they're negotiating out all the stuff they don't want into their $1.1 trillion deal, and they're going to get 60 votes on that and they'll pass it. But then the Democrats will use something called budget reconciliation, where they only need to get 50 votes plus the vice president, and they can pass whatever they want as long as it's in the budget. And so they will sit there and they'll say, okay, well, we're going to pass the stuff we didn't get from the negotiation inside of this budget reconciliation bill.
This other bill.
And we're going to move that. And they're going to put all the taxes and stuff that the Republicans think they're negotiating out in this bill, in the first bill, into the second bill. And it's going to be, and we're going to end up spending $4.5-5 trillion that we don't have. That's above the budget, by the way. That's not budget.
So what good is it, Rick, for people like Bill Cassidy, Rhino, senators like him, to negotiate with the Biden administration? I mean, it just seems to be a waste of time.
It is a waste of time. Okay, some people, though, come to the conclusion they're going to spend the money anyway, so I might as well get some of it. But in this particular instance, it is a fool's mission to go and negotiate this type of bill with Biden when Biden has told them, Chuck Schumer has told them, Nancy Pelosi has told them that they're going to get everything that gets negotiated out of this one bill in a second bill that they're going to pass without Republicans. And that's just the truth. And as a result, the Republicans are getting nothing out of this. And it's a massive mistake. At some point, the Senate Republicans need to come to the reality that they don't share values with the Democrats.
Right.
And that the Democrats are going to do what they want to do. And anytime they work with them, they're merely providing cover.
Yeah, we got to get that message through to Rhino Senator Bill Cassidy and get him to wake up and some of these others. And, you know, there are a bunch of rhinos in the Senate and in the House. I mean, look at we only have about two minutes, but. But look at Liz Cheney yesterday. I mean, giving cover to Nancy Pelosi for kicking off Jim Jordan and Jim Banks from this January 6th commission.
Well, Liz Cheney effectively has the question I asked and sent a note to Kevin McCarthy on it when he withdrew the Republicans that he appointed to the commission. Was did he withdraw Liz Cheney or is she no longer a Republican? And I think the fact is that Liz Cheney is a person without a caucus right now. She's sort of like Bernie Sanders in that regard. And he's not technically a Democrat, but he is. Liz Cheney has, out of her hatred for Trump, she's effectively switched sides on everything. So, you know, she's going to have an interesting time in Wisconsin or Wyoming. She has a, but it's going to be frustrating for some people because Liz Cheney on a lot of issues is very conservative. But the fact is she is so obsessed with Trump that she has lost her bearings.
And she's lost her effectiveness. I mean, I think she's got to go.
Well, in Wyoming, if they only have one or two Republicans run against her in the primary, she will be beaten. But if there's 10 Republicans who've run against her, she will win with like 15% of the vote. So it's a matter of having, you know, being able to get consolidated support behind one or two people. President Trump's meeting all the candidates in Wyoming to try to decide, you know, kind of who he's going to put the nod to. And I think it's one of those ones where the president's going to have to go and he's going to have to support one of the candidates. Yeah. I know in Louisiana you're very familiar with, you can have four Republicans running and one Democrat, and because of the way the system works, the Democrat can end up, you know, actually coming out on top when each of the, you know, if you had consolidated it down, you'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, no, it's our jungle primary where everybody runs together, and then the top two make the runoff, and if you have 16 Republicans and then two Democrats, you could have two Democrats making the runoff. And
it's a crazy system, but it's one that, and in Wyoming, it's a straight primary. They just have to go and make certain that they don't split the Republican vote up enough that this Cheney wins.
Rick Manning, always appreciate you, sir. Thanks for coming on the program. Great insights. And we'll link to where you can get more information. We'll get a brief time out. Come back more of your phone calls right here on Ringside.